This segment is where HN gets weird and wonderful in the best possible way. Let me start with the Raspberry Pi Pico W as a USB Wi-Fi adapter story, because it's a beautiful example of the hacker ethos applied to a practical problem. The Pico W is a microcontroller board that costs $4 and has built-in Wi-Fi. A developer figured out how to run firmware on it that makes a computer see it as a USB network adapter, effectively giving you a cheap Wi-Fi dongle using hardware you might already have in a drawer. 152 points, 58 comments.
The technical elegance here is that you're emulating a USB Ethernet adapter, a well-understood class of device with good driver support across operating systems, and then handling the Wi-Fi connection on the microcontroller side. So, from the host computer's perspective, it just sees a wired network connection. The latency and throughput aren't going to win benchmarks, but for applications where you need to add Wi-Fi to a device that only has USB ports, embedded systems, older laptops, industrial hardware, this is a genuinely useful solution.
The MacBook cursor lag fix is another hardware-adjacent story that the community clearly loved. The setup. Certain MacBook models have a bug where the cursor becomes sluggish after the display has been idle. The fix turns out to be telling macOS to record one pixel of the screen every 10 seconds, which tricks the system into thinking the screen is always active, which prevents whatever power management logic causes the lag. This is the kind of thing that should be infuriating, a 10-second timer loop to work around a software bug in a several thousand-dollar laptop, and somehow becomes delightful when someone figures it out and shares it openly.
It speaks to why the HN community values clever problem solving almost independent of whether the problem should exist. The diagnosis required understanding macOS's display management internals well enough to identify what condition the power management code was checking. That's non-trivial reverse engineering, even if the solution is trivial.
The ASCII 3D rendering engine at glyphcss.com is a show HN that got 158 points, which is very solid for a creative project. The renderer produces 3D scenes using only ASCII characters, the kind of thing that echoes demo scene culture from the 1980s and early 90s. But looking at the output, it's genuinely impressive. The shading is done by choosing characters whose visual density approximates different brightness levels, and the result is readable as 3D geometry in a way that takes your brain a second to process.
There's a connection here to the vector graphics in Lil's story and the BBC test card video processing story and the Gaussian splats printing story. All of these are about people pushing rendering and representation into unexpected domains. Gaussian splatting is the current state of the art in novel view synthesis, the technique behind a lot of impressive 3D reconstruction demos, and someone is figuring out how to print the splats as physical objects. That's a genuine frontier, taking a representation format designed for rendering on screens and translating it into something you can hold.
And then there's Jerry's Map, the top story by Score today among the more humanistic entries, with 490 points. Jerry Gretzinger has been adding to a single map since 1963. It's a hand-drawn, continuously evolving cartographic artwork that now covers hundreds of square feet of panels. He introduces randomness through a deck of cards. Certain cards tell him to destroy sections, others tell him to expand in particular directions. It's part art project, part game system, part record of 63 years of creative attention.
The HN response to this says something interesting about what the community finds beautiful. These are people who spend their days in abstraction, code, data, systems, and there's a clear longing for something that accumulates in physical space over human timescales. Jerry's Map is the anti-SaaS. No subscriptions, no deprecation, no pivots. Just a person making a thing for most of their adult life because the making matters.
The Lisp Machine history piece connects to that same sentiment. The essay traces the development of Lisp machines at MIT and Symbolics in the late 1970s and early 1980s, specialized hardware built to run Lisp natively, optimized for interactive development in ways that general-purpose computers of the era couldn't match. They were commercial failures, but they incubated ideas that show up in modern programming environments. The HN community has a genuine reverence for this lineage.
The dirty little zine tool is lighter, but worth mentioning. It's a web app that helps you lay out an 8-page printable zine from any content you give it. Small tools that make physical creation more accessible have a consistent audience on HN. It's 130 points, which suggests it found its people.